Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Perfectly Imperfect Match by Kendra C. Hiley, narrated by Jessica Marchbank. Chapter 1. Dylan. Dylan Dennings wiped sweat from his forehead, listening to the chain-link fence at the back of the ball field bang in a stiff westerly wind. Dust kicked up from the infield as he considered his opponent. He'd need to compensate for the wind just a little, calculate where he wanted the ball to go.
"Dude, for God's sake, throw it already," Tristan Morell called, waving his bat in annoyance. "I want to wrap this up before I'm too old to kiss my girl."
His girl. Alyssa was Tristan's, no denying that. Dylan was happy for them. But it still stung to be riding the bench when it came to a girl he'd had a major crush on. On the other hand, he probably dodged a bullet. If he wanted to make it to the minors in 12 months, he couldn't waste energy on anything else. He had to stick to the plan. Dylan eyed Tristan. His hitting had improved a ton, thanks to his girlfriend's coaching, and he'd become nearly impossible to strike out. Worse, since they'd been playing together for years, Tristan knew all of Dylan's pitches. Except one. He'd been working on splitters with his coach, and he wanted to try it on someone. Tristan would do. Dylan wound up, letting the ball settle in his left hand. Then with one fluid motion, flung the ball hard with the tiniest downward flick. Hopefully the ball would drop, just a bit, right as it crossed the plate. And drop it did. Tristan swung with all his might, and why not? He thought he was seeing a nice, fat fastball. But Tristan's bat whooshed over the ball, sending him stumbling off balance.
Awesome. When the hell did you learn to throw a splitter?
Tristan flashed him an astonished smile.
That's big league crap.
I spent a few weeks with Coach Myers, Dylan shrugged.
The more I can do, the better I look to scouts. You're the only guy I'd know who'd spend the first month of summer vacation after winning the state championship working out a new pitch.
Tristan shook his head. You ever think you might be a little too intense for your own good? Seriously, you need some time off. No such thing as too intense, not when your future was on the line.
I'll take time off once the Rangers or the Stros take a good hard look at me for their farm system. I want to be AAA by the time I'm 20. If I can do that, I should be called up before I'm 23.
Tristan walked out to the mound, carrying his bat with him.
I get it. And making it as a pitcher is even harder. But you're missing out on the fun stuff. Come to the lake with Alyssa and me tonight.
Dylan's heart sank just a bit.
Yeah, because being a third wheel is so great.
Not. Camp starts day after tomorrow. He waved a hand at the Suttonville High baseball field. I told Coach I'd make sure everything was set. Tristan sighed.
It is set. We've been working on this for days. It's 2 weeks with a bunch of fourth and fifth graders. There's not much else to do here. Come with us. Live a little.
I'd be a third wheel, and you know it. Dylan gave his friend a tight smile.
Besides, my mom wants us to go out to dinner tonight as a family, so I can't bail. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Tristan turned to go, but stopped.
I really wish you'd come with.
I'm fine, seriously. Go on. Dylan waved him off.
I'll see you at 8 tomorrow. Don't forget. Yes, boss.
Tristan disappeared through the locker room door, and Dylan let himself relax. Going out with Tristan and Alyssa wasn't bad, but Alyssa always wanted to fix him up with someone, maybe as a consolation. With that blonde hair and blue eyes, you look like a surfboard commercial, she would say. There are 2 dozen girls who'd hit that. Let me introduce you, please.
There's this one girl who was in Algebra 2 with me last year who... And Dylan would always tell her no. He'd felt so out of control during the playoffs, and he couldn't afford that again. No distractions, no drama, no girls. Nothing but focus, avoiding blisters, and hard, hard work. That was what his senior year would have to look like. Clean living and discipline. He could have fun after he made the majors. Hell, by then, girls would be falling into his lap at every turn. A star pitcher for the majors would have his pick. Dylan finished tidying up the dugout, checked the foul lines for any smudged chalk, and made sure the water coolers were clean. By the time he was done, Coach had walked into the locker room, eyebrow raised. "Dennings, you should be long gone by now. Is there a problem?" "No, sir. I'm just double-checking everything and making sure it's perfect. We want these kids to stick with the sport and win you another championship, right?" Coach grunted, but Dylan could tell he was pleased. "I appreciate it. Now, go home and get some rest. 3 hours a day with those kids will wear you out quicker than sprint drills." "I hear you, sir. See you Monday." Dylan went to the parking lot, feet dragging. It's not that he didn't want to go home. Home was fine. He just felt like there was more to do here. There was always more to do. Still, protecting his arm had to be a priority, and pulling his shoulder dragging equipment around would suck. So much was riding on this clinic, though. Being able to teach and coach would prove he had what it took. So what if his fastball was 90 miles per hour? He needed confidence. Most pitchers had a diva complex. He'd heard that from everyone, including Tristan. But did they have soul-crushing doubt before games? Probably not. He liked to win, and he didn't like quitting. But it was so hard to power through sometimes. Teaching the little guys, showing them how to throw, seemed like a great way to prove to himself that he knew what he was doing and to stop freaking out over every minute detail. Hopefully it worked. And if it didn't? If it didn't, he couldn't think about that. Not yet. He couldn't think about his parents knowing they secretly hoped he'd go on to college. He wouldn't think about blowing it in front of scouts next season. His breath hitched and his pulse sped up. A bead of sweat ran down his temple. Dylan started his car, a Porsche crossover handed down from his mom, and turned on the AC. "Calm down, asshole, you're fine." But the little voice in his head kept telling him he wasn't good enough, and he had no idea how to shut it off. Chapter 2. Lucy. "Who made this?" The girl in the front of the shop sounded impressed. "Come look."
"A corset? With, what are those? Clockwork bats?"
The other girl sounded less impressed.
"Seriously, those are bats."
"I want it," the first girl said. "It's so, so me." The second girl laughed. "Well, that's kind of true." As their footsteps approached, Lucy looked up from the needlepoint version of Harley Quinn's baseball bat she was doing for a customer who was really into cosplay. It was going on to a satin jacket, and the work was super detailed. The girls stood at the counter. They went to Suttonville, probably, but Lucy didn't know them. The petite girl holding the purple corset with the bats had an almost matching purple streak in her hair.
"Oh," Lucy said, appreciative. "That's perfect for you."
The tiny girl stood taller, and her friend, a slim blonde cheerleader type, rolled her eyes. "Don't encourage her."
"Why not?"
Lucy beamed at the tiny girl. "Something tells me you enjoy a little mayhem, yes?" The tiny girl's eyes widened.
"Why, yes, I do."
Lucy nodded.
Thought so. Pair that corset with a black tutu and ripped tights, and you'll slay Halloween.
I'll take it.
The girl handed her a credit card. You didn't ask how much. Lucy frowned. The corset was $125. The tiny girl waved a hand.
No price is too much for a slayed Halloween. I'm having a party, and I want everything to be epic.
She pointed at her friend. Epic, I say.
I do like customers with money.
Customers with sass and money are even better.
Your wish is my command. I always have unique pieces, in case you need something else. I'm Lucy. Just ask for me when you come in.
The tiny girl nodded toward her friend.
How about something for her?
The cheerleader girl shot her friend an affectionate, if annoyed, glance.
Speaking of tutus, how much is the pink one with the ballet shoes on it?
80.
My little sis will love it.
She forked over a credit card, too. Lucy grinned. Mom would freak when she heard that Lucy had sold 2 pieces before noon. She did a steady trade, especially through an online specialty shop. But selling 2 big pieces at the store was unheard of. She charged the girls' cards, then wrapped their buys.
You two come back sometime.
You have talent, the cheerleader said in admiration. I've never seen embroidery like this before. Where did you learn to do it?
My grandma was big into needlepoint. She taught me when I was little, mostly to keep me busy and out of trouble. I added my own spin later.
Lucy shrugged, hiding the pride fluttering in her chest.
It's a fun hobby.
The tiny girl shook her head.
Not hobby, art.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Lucy waved as they left the shop, then danced around behind the counter for a full minute. It had taken a year to convince her mom to show some of her pieces in the store.
It's for older ladies who like to quilt, hon. Your work is a little too avant-garde for my regulars. Now, though, people who never would have come by stopped in to look at the crazy needlepoint designs. Most of them even bought something.
Lucy went to the workroom in the back of the shop and settled into her chair. The bright lamp she used when doing detail work shone onto the hot satin jacket as she picked up her needle and continued to stitch the D in Good Night. The diamond patterns had turned out great, and if she could finish the lettering by today, she could move on to the clockwork storks on the baby blanket commission she'd received yesterday, along with the other 3 projects still waiting. This was going to be a busy summer. The bell above the front door dinged, and her mom's voice floated back to the workroom.
I know it starts Monday. I didn't forget. It's just that I have that quilting seminar starting. Let's ask Lucy. I'm sure she can drive you.
But she always gets lost, Otis protested.
Always. She got lost taking me home from school, and she went there.
Hey, Lucy called. I haven't been at Bluebonnet for 6 years. Cut me some slack. Her 9-year-old brother stepped into the doorway, scowling.
It's 2 blocks from home.
I missed 1 turn, doofus, Lucy laughed.
But what are y'all talking about?
Mom stopped by Lucy's work table, nodding appreciatively at the jacket.
That's turning out nice. Not sure why a grown woman wants a cartoon baseball bat on a $200 jacket, but you've done well with it.
Lucy flushed. Mom's praise was a rare thing. It had to be earned.
Thanks, but where am I taking Otis?
Oh, he starts that half-day baseball camp at the high school on Monday. I have a new quilting class at the exact same time for the next 2 weeks, so I need you to drive him.
Otis let his forehead fall against the wall.
We'll get lost.
Lucy rolled her eyes.
I know where Suttonville High is. I've gone there for 3 years, remember? We won't get lost.
Of course you won't, Mom said,
trying not to laugh. And Lucy has GPS on her phone if you're that worried. Doesn't matter. Otis sounded so despondent that Lucy laughed.
You are one dramatic 9-year-old. She went back to stitching the jacket. She could totally drive to school, and the athletic fields had to be behind the main campus somewhere. It'll be fine, I promise. Okay.
He clomped by on his way to the tiny room Mom had set up as a playroom when Lucy was little, and she'd had to bring her to work. When Otis inherited it, he'd taken out the dolls and installed a PlayStation.
We have to be there at 8:30 to register, and the camp starts at 9. The Sentinels won state, and their best pitcher will be my coach, so we can't be late.
I swear I'll have you there by 8:30. Because why wouldn't she be up at such an ungodly hour on a Monday during summer? And who would want to spend 3 hours hitting balls with sticks? Still, she'd do anything for Otis. He'd wrapped her around his little finger the first time she'd laid eyes on the chubby newborn at the hospital, and he knew it.
Mom, Serena and I want to go out tomorrow night.
Where are you going? When will you be home?
Why always 2 questions at once? Why so suspicious?
Lucy grinned at her mother's pursed mouth.
Okay, we're going to the lake. Serena's dad is letting us take the boat out for a few hours.
Mom's eyes narrowed. Is that all? Lucy held up her hands.
What else could there be?
I still remember receiving a call saying, you and Serena stole a dog from down the street. Lucy scowled.
The owner was abusing the poor thing.
And what about the time you spray-painted Down with Fascists on a placard outside City Hall? At least she hadn't sprayed it on the wall, and she'd done 4 hours of community service for it, too.
They're voting to stop allowing livestock inside town lines. Serena's dad is worried they won't let him keep his free-range farm.
Mom crossed her arms. And the time you were out until 1 chasing shooting stars? Lucy squirmed.
That was 2 years ago.
Honey, I have no problem with you hanging out with Serena. Just try to temper the passion a little, huh? She patted Lucy's back and went to the front to work on receipts. Lucy flopped into her chair. Curb her passions? It wasn't enough that she was working her butt off on her needlepoint, but she'd been helping in the store and watching Otis, too. With Dad stationed overseas, she'd really reined it in to help her mom. But a girl needed a little mischief from time to time. She wasn't hurting anyone, and she never would. All her incidents came from a helpful place. So what if she was kind of a mess? Life was messy, and she fully intended to live it.
Chapter 3. Dylan. Dylan was in the dugout preparing the equipment by 7:30 Monday morning. When Tristan stumbled in at 8, looking like he needed a giant cup of coffee, he groaned. Dylan, man, this is excessive. They're little leaguers. It's recruiting. He threw a couple more balls into the pitcher's box. We're teachers. We need to be on top of stuff. Tristan grumbled, but came to help drag everything out onto the field. Water jugs were set up on tables outside the foul lines on 3rd and 1st. The grass was freshly mowed, and the infield dirt was pristine. If that didn't impress the parents who shelled out $300 for this camp, Dylan didn't know what would. This would be the best camp the Sentinels ever put on. That was the mission. The first campers started showing up for registration around 8:20. A few underclassmen were working the sign-in table, sending kids to Dylan if they were pitchers,
and to Tristan if they were outfielders. Nate Rodriguez had the infielders. He was an upcoming junior and a wicked shortstop. They made a good set of captains. The first kid through the gate ran straight at Tristan.
"I'm Corey, and you're Tristan Morell."
"Hi, Corey." He shot Dylan an amused look over Corey's head. "You play center field?"
"Just like you."
The kid prattled on as Tristan directed him farther out into the field. Nate watched, laughing.
"Remember being that age and thinking the high school guys were heroes?"
Dylan nodded.
"That's why I want this to be perfect. These kids don't know we're human."
"Aw, come on. We are human. I'm a Mexican-Irish kid who hates tamales and shepherd's pie. If that's not human, I don't know what is."
"I'd eat both of those things."
Dylan watched as more cars rolled up and kids climbed out.
"I don't mean act untouchable. I meant we have to preserve the illusion. It's like at Disney World. You have to be at least 16 to do the Behind the Magic tour. They want to save the magic for the kids. They look up to us, you know."
"Hey."
Jeremy Ledecky, their new right fielder, came jogging over.
"Two campers forgot their gloves. Think coach will care if I pull some from the equipment room?"
"That's fine. I'll take over your check-in table."
Dylan went to Ledecky's seat and picked up a pen. If kids were pitchers, he introduced himself and sent them to stand on the pitcher's mound. Almost all his little pitchers were here, except one, Otis Foster. Dylan checked his phone. 8:59. Camp was about to start. He couldn't wait to see if Otis would show up. They'd have to start without him. Sighing, he collected the sign-in sheets, grabbed his glove, and headed to the mound.
"Good morning, guys."
"Good morning, coach," they shouted.
Coach. That had a nice ring to it. After the majors, he wanted to coach college ball. This would be good training. He smiled at the wiggling, bouncing campers.
"Okay, first things first, we always warm up. Put your gloves down and do what I do."
Dylan stretched his arms up to the sky, checking over his shoulder to make sure the boys were following suit. They were. Good. He lowered his arms and stretched them out to his sides, then twisted slowly at the waist. He had them touch their toes, stretch their triceps, and roll their shoulders.
"Okay, let's go for a little jog. Down the foul line just past first, then turn behind second and come up the third base foul line. Ready? Go!"
The boys took off more at a sprint than a jog, and Dylan chuckled. He jogged behind them, keeping an eye on the kids lagging behind. Before the end of camp, he'd push those guys a little to bring them up to pace.
"Excuse me?"
A girl waved at him from behind the first base side fence. Through the chain link, he could see a boy standing next to her looking miserable. The girl was about his age and dressed in ripped jeans, a t-shirt that read "Free Range" in hot pink, and Converse with flowers painted in glitter on them. Her ponytail hung over one shoulder, the tips as pink as the letters on her shirt. She looked like she belonged in an incense shop, not at a ballpark. She was pretty, though, in a flower child kind of way.
"Yes?"
he asked politely, standing up straighter and hoping she'd take a look. Pure reflex reaction to a pretty girl, even if girls were on the no-fly list. The boy at her side squirmed.
"I'm Otis, and I'm late, because my sister got lost."
He shot her a look that would be angry if it weren't kind of cute.
"Again."
"I said I was sorry. Besides, you're only..."
She looked at a yellow plastic watch on her right arm.
10 minutes late."
"I'm 14 minutes late,"
Otis grumbled.
"It's okay, Otis," Dylan said.
"The other guys are warming up. Let me take your bag while you jog around the bases and meet 'em, huh?"
Otis gave him a relieved smile and took off. He was fast, probably the fastest kid on the field. His cleats were a little worn, but his workout clothes fit him well. This kid took playing ball seriously. Dylan could appreciate that.
So, the girl was saying, what time do you finish?
Dylan stared at her.
Noon. We finish at noon.
She frowned at him.
No need to be snippy.
Snippy? He frowned. That wasn't at all what...
Lucy!
Otis jogged over from the mound. Leave Coach alone.
Coach?
The girl, Lucy, looked him up and down.
He's my age, tops.
And what age would that be?
Dylan asked, trying not to be offended. What was this girl's problem?
An incoming senior.
She stared him down, and he was startled by her eyes. They were the oddest shade of brown he'd ever seen. Light, with more gold than chocolate. When she turned more into the sun, they looked greenish.
Hazel?
He gaped at her, unable to stop looking at those amazing eyes. She had him completely off balance, but he kind of liked it. And then he realized what she'd said.
Wait, you go to school here?
He asked.
And you got lost?
Lucy's mouth set in a hard line.
I've never been to the ball fields. In my defense, this isn't the main part of campus, you know. I tried to take a shortcut. Turns out it was a dead end.
Okay, that was funny. Dylan bit back a smile.
So, I'll send Otis out to you when camp's over.
She crossed her arms. Her long brown hair blew in the wind, the pink tips fluttering.
I think I'll stick around, make sure he's okay. I brought things to work on.
What, does she think we can't manage a handful of 9-year-olds?
He'll be fine. We even have a nurse on staff. Anything happens, we'll call you right away.
There. That sounded professional, right?
But Lucy frowned, and he could tell she was digging in.
I'm staying.
Dylan barely kept from rolling his eyes. This girl was nice to look at, but he couldn't stand here and argue with her all morning.
Suit yourself. The bleachers are open.
She nodded. Dylan watched her over his shoulder as he walked to the mound to set up for practice. Lucy marched to her car and retrieved a large canvas bag, then went to the bleachers, where some moms were watching practice. She didn't choose the shade, though. Instead, she put on a pair of lightly tinted sunglasses and sat out in the full sun.
What's she doing?
Dylan asked when her brother came back from his jog. Otis sighed.
Sewing. For real?
For real. I guess she decided to stay, Coach. My sister is pretty cool, but when she gets something into her head, she's not gonna move.
Dylan heard the affection and exasperation in Otis's high-pitched voice. Obviously, she was a decent sister, but potentially a walking train wreck at the same time.
Okay, then. Let's get to work.
He called all the young pitchers over, along with their freshman catcher, and began his assessment.
Chapter 4. Lucy.
Of all the infuriating, stuffy, stick-up-the-ass ball players, Lucy fumed as she searched for a seat with good light that wouldn't burn her retinas at the same time. So what if she got lost? The ball fields were at the very end of school property, in a field that wasn't even remotely attached to the main parking lot. She'd had to circle twice to figure out where the sports complex lot was. It was an honest mistake, really. And that coach guy looked like he might be as fun as a root canal without laughing gas. Too bad, because he was cute as hell. Blonde, blue eyes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?